Welcome to the My Journey to Fearless podcast with me, Laura Dixon. I'm here to show you that you don't have to keep settling for your crappy day job that means you're living the same average day over and over again. Every week I'll be sharing inspiration, practical tips and my own story to help you plan your escape so that you can stop settling and start living your most amazing life. So let's begin. Welcome to episode 2 of the How She Did It mini-series, where I'm interviewing 8 inspiring women who have kindly agreed to share their stories about how they found their passion and purpose, started their businesses and left their day jobs. Today I'm speaking to Kirsty Waite, and Kirsty is sharing her story about how she spent years trying to figure out her passion and purpose, and always knew she was meant for more, but didn't know what more was. She knew she felt out of alignment, but she couldn't work out how to fix that. Kirsty eventually became exhausted by having to put so much energy into a job she wasn't aligned with, that she hit burnout, and she was told by her psychiatrist that she couldn't carry on like this, or she would end up not being able to work at all. So she set off on her personal development journey to soak in as many books and podcasts as she could, and to learn as much as she could. And she realised she'd been looking for her passion and purpose in the wrong place all along. So in this episode, we're having really great conversations about where we all look for our passion and purpose, why this doesn't work, and where we should be looking instead. The pressures that society puts on us to follow a certain path, and how we end up feeling trapped by accident without even realising it. The personal development work that Kirsty did, and how this helped set her on the right path that led her to where she is today, living her true purpose. And then Kirsty's also sharing her best piece of advice with you guys, and the biggest fear that she's had along her journey and how she overcame this as well. So keep listening to enjoy this conversation that's filled with so many golden nuggets. Hi Kirsty, welcome to the podcast. I'm so glad to have you here today.
Thanks for having us, Laura.
I've just been reading over your story and we've just been having a little bit of a chat beforehand about everything, and I'm really excited to talk to you about this because I know that so many people are going to connect with it and it's going to help so many people.
I'm so excited to be here because I feel so passionate about what you talk about, and I've got so much to say on the subject. I just really hope that I bring something that people can learn from.
Well, I'm sure you will, and I think we're going to have a really good conversation about it. So in the information that you sent me beforehand, you said that you spent like years trying to figure out your passion and purpose, and that in your whole adult life there was this knowing that you were meant for more, but you just didn't know what that thing was. So do you want to kind of start there and just tell us a little bit about your story and what happened?
Yeah, so I left school and I went straight into the world of corporate. I didn't go to university, I studied on an evening, and I was just so passionate and excited to get out into the world and make a difference, and I was really ambitious. And so I ended up in corporate. And at first it was all exciting and new, and you know, you got to wear a suit for work and you get a company car, and it was all fancy and, you know, exciting. And then by the time I'd hit kind of early 20s, I kind of had this feeling of underwhelmed, of this isn't really what I want to be doing, but what is it that I want to be doing? And I just always had this feeling of knowing that there was more out there, and knowing that this wasn't really what I was meant to be doing, turning up every day 9 to 5 and, you know, supporting a big corporation. And I just knew that I could bring more to the world and help more people. Mm-hmm. And I think when I first went into corporate, I studied accountancy, and it was interesting to me, but at the same time I knew that I didn't want to do it. But by the time that I'd got halfway through my professional qualification, there was the expectation of me to do it. Mm-hmm. So then I felt trapped in that cycle, and when I got to maybe 22 or 23, I got a regional position, and then that kept me interested because my passion is traveling. And it's so bizarre that I ended up in a corporate role because I'm such a freedom seeker. I just love traveling. I love getting out and seeing the world. So being tied to that 9 to 5 job just did not feel like me at all. So for a number of years, I kind of got by because I was traveling with work, and that kind of fed that side of what I really love to do. So I was getting to see, I was getting to explore a little bit of my passion while putting up with something that I didn't really want to do, if that makes sense. So I kind of climbed the corporate ladder, as they say, very quickly. So by the time I got to maybe 24, 25, I had a position of responsibility. So then that became even more difficult to do anything about it. And by the time I was maybe 25, I was really having this overwhelming feeling of this is not for me. I felt like I was going to work and I was a different person to what I was at home. I would put my corporate uniform on, as I would say, where, you know, you had your dress, your blazer, your stilettos, and you would go off to work. And that's just, I mean, you could just feel it. It was like putting the mask on. It was going out to work and being something that just didn't feel aligned for you. I remember one of my managers at the time, who I'm still really good friends with and has been a mentor for me over the years. And he was a leader, not a manager. And it was amazing to work underneath somebody who could demonstrate that the power of leadership, true leadership. And I learned so much from him. But every time, year after year, when we came around, you know, to personal development conversations, and I was like, I don't know what I want to do, and, you know, where do you want to go from here? And that horrible question of where do you want to be in 5 years' time? I used to just think, not here. Yeah. Please, not here. Like, and he just said to me one day, the day you know what you want to do, please let me know, because I can't wait. He's like, and I worked with him for like 5 years. So yeah, I felt very much out of alignment for a long time. Doing my career.
Yeah. And what was the turning point then, when you kind of actually did something about it? What was it that kind of prompted you to take action instead of just like feeling out of alignment all of the time?
A huge pivotal point for me was when I was around 27. There was a lot going on in my corporate, personal life and my career. And it just came to a point of hitting a brick wall. There was 1 year, and I think it was the year or the year after we got married. And I think we'd literally moved house like 3 times. We used to go on holiday like 3 or 4 times a year. I'd moved jobs, we were getting married. We'd moved in with my husband's parents to save for our deposit to buy a bigger house, and just all of these things. And then everything with work, it just came to an absolute head. And this, I just remember having a complete breakdown at that point in time. I didn't realize I was at burnout. And that was probably the most scary thing, because I was thinking, what on earth, what's going on here? Like, from an external perspective, you know, I had a really nice life, I had a lovely partner, I had a really successful career, we got to do anything we want, we had a really comfortable life. What did I have to complain about? And why did I have the, why was I feeling this way? And it was really, really tough to come to terms with the fact that I've been, because when you're out of alignment with what you do, you end up having to put 110% in to get 100% back. And I was turning up, and because I am that kind of person that I'm really conscientious, I want to do a really good job, I want to be successful, I want to get on, I was literally turning up day in, day out, giving 110% of my energy, and just to get my job done, because it just was so out of alignment. And you can only go on like that for so long before it has a detrimental impact on you.
Yeah, it sounds like we're really similar with when you're saying that you, even though you didn't enjoy it anymore and you were like really didn't want to be there, but you didn't know what you wanted to do, you still went and gave it your all and did your best every day. Like, I did that for so long too, and it's exhausting, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's where burnout comes from. Like, people think burnout is like, oh, you're really tired, or you know, you're feeling really down or whatever, it's actually because you're out of alignment with what you're supposed to do for so long, isn't it? That it leads to that. And I think people don't really realize that is a big factor of burnout, like constantly making yourself do stuff that you're not aligned with and that's not your purpose.
Oh, absolutely. And like, when I look back on that year, it was just crazy. And I traveled globally for a long time in my career. So it was like in and out of airports, back home, trying to organize a wedding, trying to organize moving house, trying to organize yet another holiday. And it was just like crazy. And I look back now and I think, God, I was a car crash waiting to happen. But I didn't see that. And I hadn't, and being, and I don't know if you found the same, but this isn't talked about in corporate life. You don't complain, you don't show emotion, you just get on and you do your job, and that's all they want to know. And yeah. I think, so that's all I'd known my whole career, because I'd always been in that environment, that I just kind of got on with it and put my head down and just kept going. And when it came to this, the head, I ended up seeing a counsellor. And he was the one that first, well, he's a psychiatrist actually, not a counsellor. And he was the one that first kind of introduced me to mindfulness and the and meditation. And this was all really new to me. And I'd never really heard, I'd heard it kind of being talked about, but I didn't really know what it is and what it could do for you and this kind of stuff. But the kind of options he gave me at the time was like, look, you are at absolute burnout here. You can't carry on like this. You're going to end up, and it was, you're going to end up not being able to work because you're going to have driven yourself so far down that line. Yeah. That in my head, I was like, oh my God, I can't not work. Not me. I can't not go to work. I need to do something about it. But I knew I couldn't go on like that any longer. So at that point, that was the turning point for me. And that was at the point where I then went on this, embarked on this whole journey. And that was kind of eight years ago-ish now. But I just then started reading books and I started just exploring my passion. And I was always a one that was, I never knew what my passion was. And I always was looking, and this is partly why, I was looking externally for that validation of what my passion was. So I was the one that would always say to you, what do you think I'm good at? What's my passion? What do you think I could do? And like, I used to bore my friends with it crazy because it used to drive me mad that I didn't have it. And it was because I didn't realize that I was looking externally for this happiness and for this passion and for this alignment. And literally for the last 8 years, I have like listened to millions and millions of podcasts, read books. I've worked with coaches, and a real turning point on that journey, on that self-discovery journey, was working with some really powerful coaches that then exposed and showed me what you could do and what was available. Because I used to think, oh, well, what do I do? What do I love? What do I want to do? You know, and I was like, oh, I don't know. And then it wasn't until they made me sit down and look internally to what my passion truly was and where I got joy and where I got fulfillment and where I was being empowered. And that was a whole new concept for me, because in the world of corporate back then, they are trying to change it, and I understand that in some people are trying to change it, but it was never, that kind of stuff was never talked about. And kind of being aligned and being empowered and being inspired to do things that was aligned to you was never an option. So you just got on, you did your job.
Yeah. So, same at school as well, isn't it? You're never taught to think like that. When you're choosing at 16 what like A-levels you're going to take or what degree at university you're going to study or anything, like, I think there's a huge gap there as well, that people aren't taught to connect with themselves and to look internally for what they are all about and what their passion and purpose is.
Oh, Laura, I could not agree more with that. And I think all the time about the work that I'm doing now, and I would really like to connect and support from an early educational age, so kind of secondary school, just because when people start picking subjects to study, they choose something that potentially they think has an impact on the rest of their lives. But I think what's important is it doesn't. And if you get out of university and you learned that actually this is not for you, that's fine, and there's other options for you. And you're not, because I think that's partly why people get stuck in these jobs that they don't like, because they feel trapped and they feel like, well, they've invested all these years into that now, that's what I've got to do. Yeah. And that's not the case. And when you look at your life on a big scale, at the point that I started feeling like this, I was 22, 23, like, what age is that? That's no age. And yet I'd felt I'd invested all this time studying, I'd built up this career, and I just felt like this is it now, like that's my career, that's what I've chose to do. But in reality, it's fine, you can change your career and you change direction no matter how old you are.
I don't feel
like that's really explained. Well, it definitely wasn't when I went through school, and it was like you picked your subjects and this is what you did and that's what you were going off to do.
Yeah. So, and also if you don't go to like a really big school, you're restricted by what subject you can pick for A levels too. Like, I always had an interest in like sociology and psychology and things, but they weren't an option at my school. You had to go to a separate college in another city to do those. So yeah. I was too scared to do that. So I picked like sciencey sort of subjects, which led me into a degree that I just thought I should do because I was kind of good at geography and stuff, but it wasn't a passion. I ended up dropping out of uni halfway through. And at the time, yeah, I can remember talking to my mum, sobbing, telling her like I'd ruined my life. And I was like 20, and I was like, I've ruined my life, like it's the end of the world, you know. And it was this like awful thing. And you're so young, you just don't realize that you've got so many years ahead of you. And people change careers in their 50s now, don't they? And
I know.
You've still got like 10 or 15 years of an entire like huge career to have at that age. So
yeah, and there's so many options as well. And I think what's I know we talked about this a little bit before we started, but it's about the expectation of society and what's put on you. And you get to a point, and I talk a lot about default versus created future. And it's the default future is you go off to university, you study something, you get a career in that, you then go off and get a job in that, and that's your career. You go up the ladder, you know, you get promoted, you get a job, and on the personal side of it, you'll buy your first house. But as you get a promotion, you buy a bigger house. Then you get even further up the ladder, you buy your bigger house. So then your expenses are in line with your job promotion. Then you become trapped. And before you know it, you're 30 years old, you've got a huge house, a huge mortgage to go with that. But to support that lifestyle, you have to stay in this job because you've got to earn X amount of money to do that. And that's where the people really struggle to get out of that at that point.
Yeah, because so, it makes that gap you've got to make with your sort of side hustle or your business so much bigger to start with, doesn't it? You've got such a higher sort of revenue to aim for, to kind of match the corporate life, haven't you?
Yeah, and I feel like you automatically fall into that default cycle of that's what you do. And I think what I'm going through now is changing that to be a created life and a created future of what do I really want that to look like. And that's what I work with my clients on, of where you are now, have you just flowed and floated to that, or is that something you've intentionally done? Have you intentionally taken that action to get to that point? And when you're feeling out of alignment, and when you're feeling like you're not doing something that you're passionate about, you tend to have got there by default. Yeah. You don't tend to have created it and got there intentionally. Mm-hmm. And that's when I work a lot around with my clients, because that makes such a difference.
Yeah, I can understand. It's such a good way of putting it as well. Because it is the pressures of society. It's that whole thing, like, you get married and somebody asks you when you're going to have a baby, or you have your first baby and somebody asks you when you're going to have your next one. Like, it's that from society to follow that pattern, isn't it?
Oh, wholeheartedly. And there's the expectation as well from when, especially being a female in corporate, of when are you going to have a baby, because that's going to impact your career and that's going to impact your progression. And when you've had one baby, are you having two? Are you going to take more time off from this career path? Is that the right thing to do? And that's in itself just wrong and crazy, that you know, but it's all these expectations, and it's being confident and comfortable within yourself that you do something that you truly want to do on your terms, rather than doing it because it's expected or that's just the next natural step in what you need to do.
Yeah. Why don't you tell everybody what you were telling me before about the little note that you've made in your notebook?
So as part of my journey to discovering what I really wanted to do, and, you know, I hired two amazingly powerful coaches, and they won business, but there's two lady coaches there. And back in 2018, was when I started working with them. And I came across a notebook that, yesterday I came across a notebook that of something that I wrote in this book when I was having one of their sessions. And it was just, I read it yesterday because I found the notebook, and it just made, it gave me goosebumps when I was reading it, because it's a desire statement. And I'll tell you now, in 2018, when I wrote this desire statement, I did not think for one second that this would come true. And I knew I wanted it. It was a dream, and it was kind of a long term one day. Do you know that when you hit one day, I'll get to do that?
Yeah.
That one day never comes, does it? Unless you take intentional action. But anyway, I wrote this desire statement, and it gave me goosebumps, because everything in here is what I am doing now. And even at writing this, I didn't know that this was my true passion. My coaches did. So when I found this, I messaged them, and they were like, yeah, we know, we knew that's what you were always going to do, but I hadn't yet come to accept it. So yeah. I read a little bit of it, but my desire statement is, I will have a successful business coaching business by the 31st of December 2020. In return for this, I will give empowerment to entrepreneurs and females to run successful businesses. I believe that my business will come into my possession. My faith is so strong, I can see it before my eyes. And it just goes on and on. And at the bottom, it says, this is my passion. I will show up daily to change other people's lives by supporting them to create a business on their terms, authentic to their own voice. And it just gives me goosebumps reading that, because when I wrote that, I didn't think for one second I would be living that life and living that dream. And yet here I am, like, doing exactly that.
You'd forgotten about that in between, hadn't you? You'd kind of forgotten that you'd written that, and then you just discovered it and you were like, oh my God, it's actually happened.
Yeah, literally, this book, I literally used it for my sessions for that coaching, and that coaching ended at the beginning of 2019, and I've never looked at that book since. Yeah. Like, I've never picked it back up, and I was looking for something else and I came across it, and I just flicked through and thought, I wonder what kind of notes I wrote, because I write notes forever. I just love writing. So I'd always write a lot of stuff. So when I opened it and read it, I couldn't believe it. I read it out to my husband. I was like, oh my goodness, I've got to read this to you. And I read it, I was like, I wrote that in 2018 when I had no idea. Well, when I thought I had no idea what I wanted to do, but it was obviously in there.
And you had no idea how that was going to happen. You just wrote it down knowing that that's what you might want, not any of the how of how you're going to get there or anything. But it's so strange how things start to work in your favour once you just kind of put your sort of desires out there, isn't it?
Absolutely. I had no idea how that would manifest. At that point I couldn't see how I would make that happen. I genuinely didn't. And one thing working with these two ladies that really showed me is that you don't need to know how it's going to happen. You just need to be committed that it's going to happen, and you need to truly believe in it, and you need to truly believe in yourself, and then just let it go. And, you know, and yeah, it's amazing that once you start putting things out into the world and into the universe, what you get back.
Yeah. So that coaching was part of your personal development journey, wasn't it? But what else did you do? Have you got any other sort of things you can share with people? Because talking about personal development in terms of like business and actually doing it for yourself, it's completely different to the stuff that they make you do in your job, isn't it? Like, there's no like comparison between the two, really.
Absolutely. So from a personal development point of view, I did a lot of off my own back. So reading, podcasts, researching, and I have a logical mind in the fact that I like to know where it comes from, I like to know the facts, I like to know the research. And so when I get a new subject or when I'm introduced to something, I just like to learn about it. So I just learned everything that was there was to know about this whole mindset industry and mindfulness. So that then I started doing things like meditations, affirmations, reading about the law of attraction, understanding, you know, the visualizations and the positive impact that these things can have on you.
Mm-hmm.
And that made such a difference. And getting up and doing your gratitudes and, you know, doing abundance meditations, and it just changes the way that you think. So I committed to myself to being curious. I didn't know where it was going. I didn't know what I was going to find, but it made me feel good and it made me feel positive and it made me feel like there's other things out there. Mm-hmm. And another thing that I did a lot of is networking with like-minded people. So when I met Donna and Shuttle, who were the coaches I've been talking about a lot, it was like a breath of fresh air of like, how do I surround myself with people like this? Because they were just so positive, the, you know, can-do attitude, like, what do you want? Anything's available to you. You can create the life you want and you can do it. It's open for you to take it. If that's what you want to do, it's yours. And it was like that kind of attitude, and they'd come from corporate, so they knew exactly what I was going through, was just unbelievable. And surrounding yourself with people with that attitude and that mindset changes that your outlook on the world and on your life. And it was a combination of a lot of different things, but it was about committing to know that you wanted change to me. And I'd gotten along always saying, this isn't for me, I don't know what I want. And I just got sick of the point of myself. Honestly, I was so sick of my own voice saying, I don't know what I want, I don't know what I want. Is this for me? What's my passion? And then in the end, I was like, I know this is not what I want to do. What am I going to do about it? So then I just committed to doing something every day, every week, just making sure I was taking those tiny little steps. I had no idea where it was going to lead, where it was going to take me to. But I just had to trust that it was going to take me somewhere.
So you were just going to follow that and just see where it led you. Yeah,
absolutely.
And the mindset is so different from, you know, the mindset you've just been talking about, like about being proactive and actually going out there and making stuff happen for yourself, is so different to what I'm not going to say everybody, but a lot of people in corporate do have a completely different mindset, don't they?
Yeah.
And there's that whole like employee to entrepreneur mindset thing that you've got to do, like that shift that you've got to make.
Oh, absolutely. And it's about changing, it's having a growth mindset, and it's about staying curious and open to what the possibilities are. And not, but I come from an entrepreneurial family. Like I was brought up in a family business, so I only knew entrepreneurship until I went off to corporate world. So I knew what it took, and I know how hard it is to be an entrepreneur, but I still felt that pull to that's what I needed to be and that's what I needed to get back to. But so when I was in corporate, I feel like why I did do so well in corporate is because I could see both sides and I had that mindset, that growth mindset. And I knew for me, it's all about connections, relationships, building communities. And I did that within my teams and within my positions and within my role. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm good at. And that's what I did well. And I think because I had that slightly different mindset, I think it worked well.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
It does. And I think it is a big shift that you've got to make. You might have ended up where you are by accident as such, like you were saying before, but that doesn't mean you have to be stuck there like forever. You can be proactive and you can choose to change it, but you just have to make that mindset switch, don't you, to actually like start doing that.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be. So it doesn't have to be a huge leap, right? And this is one thing that I talk with my clients about, because it's scary to sort of, is if I talk about from a very top level about what I've done. So I've gone from a very successful corporate career to quitting, handing my notes in, leaving, creating my own business, like within the space of a few months, right? And that, when you think of it very simply, you think, oh my God, how could you do that? But really what happened, this journey started 8 years ago when I started on this journey, and it was tiny, tiny little steps. And like a year and a half ago, I was like, oh, I'm going to start studying a business coach and leadership mentor diploma just because I'm interested in it. I really love it. I'm really passionate about it. I led a team, so it would benefit my corporate life as well. So I just went and did it in my own time. And then the coach that was coaching me on that also ran a business coaching business as well. Then he asked me to be an associate coach for his business. And then all of a sudden it just started to kind of escalate. And when I applied to do that diploma, it was never my intention to be a full-time business coach within 12 months, but these things just happened. And it was just kind of taken, just leaning into what feels good and what you want to do and learning and seeing where it takes you.
Yeah, and all the pieces, it's true, like all the pieces just like kind of start to slide into place, don't they, once you start?
It's a snowball effect. And yeah. I remember someone saying to me, it was Cheryl, one of the coach, and she's like, when it feels right, it'll be like opening Pandora's box and you won't be able to put the lid back on it. Mm-hmm. And that is exactly what it, like, it literally was like it kind of started to snowball for me at the point of me starting to do that diploma. And it was me just kind of going, I really enjoy it, I want to learn more, I want to, you know, I want something to study. And literally that then within 12 months it escalated where I'd coached all these people. I had people saying to me, I want to pay you to coach me, I want. And it was like, oh my God. And at that point it got so big, this snowball, that I couldn't put it back in Pandora's box because I felt truly aligned and I'd felt like, this is it, this is what I'm meant to be doing. And it just all fell into place by taking those little steps.
Yeah, so that's encouraging for people who are right back at the start of that journey, who are feeling really stuck. Just pick something and start, isn't it? And just explore and just see, take a little step and just see what comes of it.
Absolutely. And when I was in that, the thick of feeling stuck and feeling, it was like desperation to get out. I need to get out. For me, I needed sometimes to just take a step back and stop putting that pressure on myself. Because I think, and this is, allow yourself to be creative and allow yourself the time to do something because you enjoy it. Because what I went through a stage of doing is going, oh, I really like doing that, but I'm never going to be able to make money from that, so I'm not going to do it. Like, I can never have a job doing that, so I'm not going to do it. So then I put that pressure on myself. And it's about it not coming from a place of money, and it's about doing something because it's enjoyable, it makes you happy, you like to do it. And you don't know where it's going to lead. But when you get stuck in that place of overwhelm, and this, I found myself in this position where I felt like the pressure of time, thinking, oh my God, I'm going to run out of time. Like, I haven't got stuff together. I'm nearly 30, like I'm 32. Oh my God, what am I going to do? And then that created that urgency. And I couldn't think properly. And I didn't give myself the time to be free and creative and enjoy things, because I literally felt, if I couldn't start a business and make money out of it, there's no point exploring it. Right, I've got to do this and I've got to do it now. So I was literally putting so much pressure on myself to get out of this place of being stuck, that I was stopping myself getting out of it because I was putting so much pressure on myself.
Yeah.
So I literally just stopped doing everything that I was doing and just thought, right, take a step back, go back to basics. And what do I truly enjoy? Enjoy reading business books. I enjoy listening to business podcasts because that is truly my passion, business. I just love it. And I just allowed myself to do what felt right and just lent into that feeling. Because I think I used to feel, I'm always jealous of these people that are born with a natural passion and talent. So like, my husband's a musician, right? But he's the most naturally talented musician ever, and it really, really annoys me because I'm like, you know what your passion is, it's easy, that's your passion, what's mine? And it's like, I used to, like I said before, look external for that passion of like thinking one day I'm going to walk down the street and have this just huge epiphany of my passion's going to just drop in front of me and go, there it is, that's what I'm good at. And it's like that mindset needed to change because that's not what happens. Your passion is your energy and it's your feeling and it's something that you follow that makes you feel happy and you get joy out of. So while you're trying to look externally for this passion, you need to be looking internally and you need to just take the noise away and stop trying to force it onto yourself. Like, well, this is what I was doing. I was like, I will do this. I will study this. I will read this book. I will find my passion. Yeah. And at the point of me going, stop, was when I started to listen and just naturally explore what made me happy and what really interested me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it completely does. I talk about this a lot, especially with my little course that I've got. It's like finding your passion's like a jigsaw puzzle, really, but all the pieces are like scattered around in your brain and you can't find them and you can't see them because you're cramming your brain full of so much other stuff, trying to figure out what your passion is. Yeah. So you just need to kind of take a step back and just pick each piece out one at a time. And like, once you've got all of the pieces, then you can start to put them together in a way that actually makes sense. Mm-hmm. You can kind of get them all out of your head and they all start to kind of fit together. And you start to see that clear picture of where you're going and what it should be about.
Absolutely.
We go about it in the completely wrong way, don't we?
Yeah. It's the pressure. We just put so much pressure on ourselves.
Yeah. Especially if you are like a natural, like, high achiever and you always want to do well at what you do, then I think that's the kind of personality where you do put that pressure on, don't you? It's like, well, I've been able to figure out everything else that I've come up against, why can't I figure out this thing? I must do. And then you like heading, like trying to do it.
Literally, Laura, right, you are taking the words out of my head of like what I used to say to myself, because I used to say, I'm really successful at something that I'm not aligned to. Just think, if I was aligned to it, how much, like, why can't I find it? You know, like, I can figure all this stuff out for everybody else, but I can't do it for myself. But that just adds that additional pressure, doesn't it?
Yeah.
To it. And I think of like what you're doing and what you talk about and what we talk about today. And if I'd come across this 8 years ago, I think I would have like rang you and cried at the relief that, oh my god, it's not just me, like there's a way out of this, and it's, you know, it's fine. And I think as well, what's important to talk about is your passion and your purpose, and I think they're two different things. And I think when you think of your passion, it's internally and it's that feeling and energy. But when you think of your purpose, it's what do you bring to this world? And it's you. You are unique. This is what you here to do something. We all have something new and different to bring to this whole one world.
What's the impact going to be? Like, whose lives are you going to change?
Absolutely. And I think you don't always have to have a business or a career that's aligned necessarily to your passion. It could be a hobby, it could be a side business, it could be anything. But I think the importance is that you know what it is and you're aligned to it, and that you're doing something in your life in line with your passion, because that's what brings you joy and happiness, and that's what gets your energy going. And what your purpose is it's just about being confident to share your authentic self and your true voice, and just having I feel so passionate about this because this is what I work with my clients on, is creating a life that's aligned to you and your voice, and you just being unapologetically you. And that's fine. And when a lot of people talk to me, it's like, oh, I can't do that because of this. And oh, what should I do? Oh, and it's like, what do you want to do? Like, let's look inside. Where do you want to take this? What do you want to do? Let's do that. Let's work on that goal. Let's do that. And I think when you start to expose people to this, you can do this, it's a bit of an insight and it's a bit of an aha moment that they go, oh, I can have that business on my terms, and I can say that. because that's okay. Yeah. And it's just, yeah, I just feel it's a topic I feel incredibly passionate about.
Well, that's why it's good for us to have this conversation. Yeah. Like, we've both, like, when I read your story, I was like, oh my God, it's practically the same at every step. It's like my story. So
spooky,
uncanny. It's so weird. And even when I'm listening to you talk there, you know, you were saying it's like I'm like taking the words out of your head. Well, I'm feeling the same when I'm hearing you talk. It's just, if us two feel like this, there is going to be so many more people out there that are feeling exactly the same.
Oh, absolutely. And the amount of people that I have worked with and I can see is visibly unhappy in their job and have not, just don't do anything about it. And even people that have been on my team, you know, I always encourage people to live what, to do what's right for them, not what's right for the business, not what's right for me as their line manager, what is right for them. And I think that's quite unique within the corporate world. And I think it's sometimes like, it might have been to my detriment where people have gone on and done something else, but you know what? It's what's right for them. Keeping people within my team because they feel loyal to me is not the right thing to do. No. And I see this happen time and time again where people aren't encouraged to embrace what they really truly want because they feel stuck. And because I've been through that, I would hate to feel like any of my team felt like that. So because I do what I do and I'm passionate about what I do, I always really encouraged my team to talk openly about what they wanted. And, you know, even if it was to progress into my job, I'd be like, cool, how can we get you there? What experience do you need? That's fine. And let's have that open discussion. Or, right, you want to work in that department. Right, how can I help you in my team get experience to do that? And let's talk about time scale. And so then they feel listened to. And I think it's just so important to instill that into our leaders and to have that attitude.
It's so important. That was completely lacking when I was, I worked in the civil service for 11 years. It's about as corporate as it gets, I think. Really.
Yeah.
And then I did a little bit of time. I sound like it's like a prison sentence.
It feels like that sometimes.
In the NHS as well. So it's kind of like public sector is that been my entire career. And in my civil service job towards the very end, when I had my business and I wasn't sure where it was going and if I was going to like leave, I would talk about it and what I was doing. And I actually got told off and told not to talk about my business. And I think they were just scared that people were going to wake up to like a different mindset and like the way I was talking about it, like everybody might quit. But they tried to really like dampen me down and like stop me expressing myself. I think there's still like a big fear around it, isn't there?
That's their mindset limitations and their saboteurs, not yours.
Yeah.
However, it's really sad and that they have, that is the prime example of a fixed old school mindset, isn't it? Of like, don't show anybody else, don't show these people what could be because they might go and get it. Let's keep them trapped. Let's not show them what life could be like. Whereas for me, I really wanted to create in my team, in any team I've worked in, I want people to feel free to express themselves and to come and go as they pleased. If they felt that that was right for them at that moment in time and I could help and support and uplift them in any way, that's what I was there to do. And I made that incredibly clear to any person coming into my team that that's how I operated. I trust these people. I treat them like adults, not like children. And I think definitely in the environment where you worked, it's very rules and regulations based. And everybody has to do this. You have to be at the desk at this time. You have to do this and you have to be seen to be doing it, you know, and it's difficult. And I think there needs to be a huge shakeup in that sector. Because I think talking how we talk and how through our experiences, I can imagine that's a sector where a lot of people have had been in those positions for a long time and feel probably like we felt for all those years.
Yeah, I know for a fact there's people, I walked past there not so long ago actually, and the same people were still going into the building and I knew they were unhappy back when I was there. So I can only imagine like how they're feeling now. I know from people I know that still work there, I know that it's still as crap as ever.
Yeah.
So I know that all these poor people are still there, probably still feeling miserable.
It's the fear, isn't it? It's having the courage to do something about it. And I think a lot of people are trapped in that position because of financial commitments, because of, you know, family commitments and things like that. And or some people just assign themselves to, this is what it's got to be like, and they don't know any other way.
It's like you just want to kind of switch a light bulb on in the head or something to be like, look at all the possibilities that are out there. Like,
this is what you could be doing. You should be out with like a canvas and board going, this is what you could be.
It's like, if you're happy there and that's what you want, then I have no issue with that at all. That's fantastic because you've got an easier life than I had because you don't have to figure out what on earth else you're going to do. that whole crazy like thing where you're doing your own head in trying to figure it out, like, you know, if you're happy there, that's great.
I used to be so jealous of people that were just happy and this is it, they found their career and they're happy. I'm like, why can't that be me?
it is now
it absolutely is. Oh my god, it is now. It's like it's just different life altogether, but
really exciting.
So
if there was one piece of advice you could give to people who are back, just think back to when you were like stuck in that place where you were knowing that you were meant for something more, but you just could not figure it out. And you were really like putting loads of pressure on yourself and feeling really crap about it all. What's one piece of advice you would share with people who are in that position now that would help them?
I think for me is just know that if you feel that there's more out there for you, there is, don't give up. But also don't look externally for that validation. Just take some time, do some soul searching and do some inner work. And I know people might not kind of believe in that or feel like it's a bit woo-woo, or but you really genuinely do need to do that work. And it is work and it's hard and it takes time, but really just lean into what feels good, because that's what you're going to find. Whatever makes you happy, whatever fills you with energy, whatever brings joy to your life, and whatever you enjoy doing, do it. Don't think, I'm never going to be able to do that as a business. I'm never going to be able to make money off that. Stop that thought. Stop. And don't think past what the time of now is. Like now, the moment you're in now, what makes you feel good? And just follow that.
Just follow it and see where it leads. I love that.
Yeah.
So the other question that I'm asking everybody who comes on the podcast is, so through this whole experience, what's been your biggest fear and how did you overcome that?
The biggest fear for me was around the financial aspect of, could I create equal or more financial income than I did in my corporate career? Mm. And I think that's what held me back for quite a long time. And when things got hard, you always have that security. Well, it's conceived, you know, secure. When you talk about job security, it's only as secure as where you're at then. But that was really difficult for me because I'd never really had to worry about where money, if that makes sense. I don't mean it as in I was a billionaire and I have loads of money. I mean that I always had a good income and I could always afford to do what I wanted. And it was that change, especially now that I've got a daughter, because there's someone else relying on you and it's a little bit of extra pressure thinking, it's okay if I'm a bit careless and I decide to, you know, risk everything. But when you've got other people relying on you, it's an additional pressure.
Yeah.
So for me, it was about being prepared and just working through my money mindset. And it's talking and just thinking about, you know, your self-worth, your self-belief, how are you going to plan for it? So this is what I'm thinking. I knew that it was a financial, I knew that this was kind of a sticking point for me. So I just did some work on my money mindset and understood, right, okay, what do I need to do to achieve X, Y, and Z? What do I need to be charging to bring that in and to see how realistic it is? But also, what do I really need to live off rather than what do I want? Don't get me wrong, my want is where I want to be, and I want to not only meet my corporate income, I want to exceed that. But it's about knowing that when you think about for me, the fear was not getting any money in, you couldn't pay your mortgage, and you think of the extreme version, don't you? So like,
yeah,
I couldn't afford to buy my children any Christmas presents, we're gonna have nowhere to live. And literally it was to this really extreme.
Yeah.
And I worked through with my coaches to break that down, and it's like, right, for it to get to that point, how many things have to happen? So like, when you walk through it, like 10 key things have probably have to happen before my house got took off me, before I couldn't buy any prep food for the, you know. And I would never allow that to get to that point. I would go and get a job. I had, you know, had savings. I would, you know, sell my car. There's like so many things that you know that you could do before it ever got to that point. So it's about learning to, for me, it was kind of understanding why I had that fear,
mm-hmm.
and also learning about what the triggers were and all about what I needed to put in place to make me feel okay about taking that leap. And it's gone, right, okay, so I know that if I don't get X amount of money by this time, I need to do X or Y. And I had a plan that I knew that, and I never needed to use this, but this was just for me a bit of security to say, right, it was basically to show myself that it would never get to that end point unless something severe happened,
mm-hmm.
at which point I could do something about each step.
You already had a plan.
Had a plan. Does that make sense?
It does completely. I talk about it quite a lot, like reframing your fears and looking at the worst case scenario and then making a plan for if that did happen. And then you do feel more comfortable to take that risk because you've already kind of been through the whole situation in your head, haven't you? And you've kind of already experienced it, so you know how you're going to react if it does happen. But at the same time, you know that there's a very like high chance that it's not going to happen.
Exactly. And you think when you think about it in your head and you've kind of gone to that, the worst case scenario, you get there tomorrow. So you feel like you're going to leave your job and tomorrow you're going to wake up and you can't pay your bills and you can't, you're going to get your house taken off you tomorrow. It's not going to happen that quick. It's like these things kind of take time. So it's about understanding that timeline and what I can do if X, Y, or Z happened. And it is a risk. And I'm not saying it removes the risk, because it is a risk. And walking away from a job with regular income and going off into the world of entrepreneurship in your own business is a huge risk, but it's one that I feel so passionate and so aligned to that it just lights me up when I talk about what I do. And it's, I couldn't imagine not doing it.
Yeah.
So that I knew that I had to take that risk, and I've just got to go with it.
It's worth the risk for you, definitely. And I think everybody will get to that point. It's just, it takes time to get there, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. But if you're right back at the start of your journey, like think of you 8 years ago, whenever it was, when you said you started this like personal development journey and stuff. Thinking back then about leaving your job, you would have been terrified, wouldn't you? But mm-hmm. now you're at the point where you've done it and it wasn't that scary and you were ready for it, and you knew it like deep down inside it was the right thing.
Yeah.
It's just about timing, isn't it? And
it is. And when you know, you'll know. And I had a conversation just before I handed my notice in. I had a conversation with this amazing lady, and I was just chatting to her, and I was trying to balance both. And she said, and it was a really good analogy of, you know when it's time, because trying to balance both, it's like having two rowing boats and having a foot in each boat and trying to keep them together as you're going down the river. And it's literally at the point where you can no longer keep those two boats in a line going the same way is when you need to leave. And it's like, I've got to that point, and you just know when it's time, and it might come sooner than you think. It might take a little bit longer, but you just need to trust in that timing. If you'll just know when you can no longer split your energy and split your time. And it comes to a point where it's not fair on your job, because you're getting paid to do a job and deliver certain things. And I've had, my job was a job with a lot of responsibility. And when I started feeling like, oh, I really want to do that, or I want to spend more of my focus doing that, it's not fair because I'm not giving my all to my team. And, you know, it needs to work both ways, you know. So yeah. you'll just know when it's time.
Yeah. Oh, it's been so lovely talking to you today. I've really enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you. It's been great talking about it. And as you can see, I'm very passionate about it and empowering people to kind of, you know, take action.
It's so nice to talk to someone who's really passionate about it. And I know lots of people are going to connect with your story. And just when you've been talking about those feelings you had at those times, I think people are really going to be like, oh, that's me right now. And so the whole aim of this is so that if they see and listen to you and your story, they'll think, well, if she can do it, I can too. So I hope that's what we've brought to people through this conversation.
Yeah, I really hope so.
You want to tell people a little bit about what you do now and how they can come and find out more about you if they want to, like, come to your website or your social media or something?
Mm-hmm. So now, if you haven't guessed from what we talk about, I work with business owners and help them. I talk a lot about helping people thrive in their business. So for someone to truly thrive is, for me, it has to be a balance of your strategic plan and financial piece, also your mindset, and also your passion and your purpose and your why. So when these things are all balanced, that's when you can truly thrive, not only in your business, but in your personal life as well. And that's when you can grow into what you meant to be doing. So I work with business owners on their, so for example, a lot of people come to me when they're really overwhelmed, they haven't got the clarity or vision of the direction they're meant to be going in. So they know what they want to achieve, but they just don't know what that journey looks like or what their next step is, or they might have a specific goal that they want to work on. You know, and it's just about I work with them to get that clarity and to really, it's a bit of a, when I describe it, it's like when I first meet people, they have a very messy mind, they've got so many ideas and so much ambition, and they just want to achieve these really big goals, but it's just all in their head and they don't know how to get there. And I just kind of pull those golden threads and, you know, ask them those powerful questions to get them to, okay, now we've got a calm, peaceful mind, we've got some organisation, we've got an action plan, let's start and put that strategy in to move your business and to get your business where you want to be. So I get to work with lots of different people on their business and on their personal journey as well. And I just love it. I just love being involved with and changing people's lives and being involved with their businesses. It's such an honour to be involved in different people's businesses.
It's really rewarding seeing like what like after a little while of working with you compared to when they started.
Yeah, it's my corporate life, I worked a lot with leaders and implementing structures and processes and controls in. So it's like doing that, but in for small businesses, and it has such a profound effect and impact on small businesses that when you come along and when you're working with creatives, they're incredible at being creative and doing what they do. But looking at it from a business perspective and looking at growth and processes and those kind of things, they don't see it like I see it. So I can go along and make a few changes and give them some advice, and it has such an impact on their business. It's amazing and it's really rewarding.
Oh, well, how can people come and find out about you if they want to look up what you do and connect with you?
They can connect with me on Instagram. It's just Kirsty_Waite, and also our website's kirstywaite.com.
And I'm going to leave links to both of these in the show notes as well, so people can just grab the link and click on it rather than have to type everything in as well. So we'll make it easy for them to come and find you. It's been lovely talking to you today. Thanks so much for coming on the podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's been great.
So if you can relate to Kirsty's story and you want to find your passion and purpose so you too can follow your dreams, then head over to myjourneytofearless.com/start here, where I have some free resources to help you. You can also check out my mini course. It's called Your Passion, Purpose and Potential by heading over to myjourneytofearless.com/passion purpose potential course, but I'll add the links in the show notes for you. My mini course teaches you how to find your passion and purpose, by looking in the right places, like we discussed in this episode, and how you can turn your passion into a business so you can make money from it. We'll have you making money doing something you love in no time, so definitely go and take a look at the course if this sounds good to you. And I'll be back next week with the next interview in this How She Did It mini series.